So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So this is me saying I wasn't going to do a lot of podcasting this year. Two podcasts in a row. But there you go. What can you do? Anyway, welcome. Today, in today's session, we're going to talk about the keys to wealth for 2022 because what else are we going to do this year other than have the same... the same year that we had last year, the same year that we had the year before. Welcome to Groundhog Year. So you might as well make use of it and, you know, increase your wealth. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the whole point of the podcast is to help people separate the gap between how much they spend, how much they earn, and to invest the rest and where to send that money so that then we can leave work, then we can move to the med, and then we can leave happily ever after, which is kind of what we did, certainly to some extent. And maybe that's what other people want to do as well. So that's one of the main reasons that we actually created the podcast show 5.5 years ago, almost 6 years ago now. I think it's 6 or 7 years. I can't remember. Anyway, so let's get straight into the content then. We've got the painters and decorators coming this morning, as you do. The joys of working from home, of course. So we're going to go till about 15:15 the hour. And obviously we're an hour ahead of you guys because we're here in Spain just by the Med, which is lovely, by the way. We had such a warm day yesterday. It's incredibly warm wind coming up from the Sahara. And I did check my car was not covered in yellow dust, which is what normally happens, but maybe it will be today. And it rained and it winded again. Winded is a word. So anyway, let's get straight on to the content. First bit then, keys to wealth in 2022. You got to stop spending. Like, stop it. Like, I'm just as bad. I bought myself a new watch. I got the new Samsung. There it is. I got a new Samsung watch. It was in the sale. It was like 270 quid and it should be like £400. So it's like, oh, and I've been wanting it for a while. So I went and did it. But you know, it's like buying myself a Christmas present. I always do it once a year. I buy something that's really nice, something that I really want, but also because I'm a tight northerner at the same time, I have to wait until it's on sale. So I never buy it before Christmas because it's a Christmas present, but I buy it after Christmas in the sales. And actually, I waited until we came back to Spain when the sales started here. And the sales in Spain, by the way, don't start until the 6th of January, 7th of January, because they have Christmas Day on the 6th. It's called the Three Kings, slightly different than the UK, obviously. But anyway, everything goes on sale for about a month. Really, really good sales. Plus, you know, if it's 420 euros rather than 420 pounds, 420 euros is a lot less than 420 quid. You can take 15% off that. So that's what? Another 60 quid off. And so that's why I wait until I come here. So it was already on a discount down to 320 euros. And then it was discounted because I bought in pounds, and pounds to euros worked out about 270 pounds. So, you know, every so often buying yourself stuff, that's fine. But if you're constantly going out and you're spending money on food and meals out and just stuff, just crap, clothes. What are you buying clothes for? Where are you going? You ain't going anywhere. We're in a pandemic, for God's sake. So stop spending money on shit you don't need. Now, look, if you're going to spend money, and I'm not saying that you don't buy clothes, but you should have it in your cash flow forecast, which is what we're going to talk about next, just here. Look at that. I've got an hour there. Just there. That's what we're going to talk about next in the cash flow forecast. But you got to stop spending money on shit. Look, I know you're bored. It's a pandemic. I know you're depressed. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. It's just the same year over and over again. You try and do something to make yourself feel a bit better. So you go out shopping and you buy something. It makes you feel better for, you know, an nth of a minute, a tenth of a minute, a fifth of a minute. I don't know how long that is. An hour maybe. Maybe even a day. And after that, nothing. Back to feeling numb again. I get it, right? But you've got to stop doing it. Like, one of the keys to actually solving that is to buy Tats off Amazon for less than a fiver. You know, if you feel like you absolutely need something exciting going on in your life, buy just random shit on Amazon for less than a fiver. Allocate that into your budget, you know, £20 a month, £5 a week. You're just going to buy some random shit. You can even have competitions with people and go, you know, like a Secret Santa. And the Secret Santa for you in this situation would be, I'm going to spend £5 on you, you spend £5 on me, and let's just see what we get. Like, And it comes through the post and you get to open it. And it's like a little Christmas present once a week, but you know it's less than five and it's some useless tart, but it could be quite funny. Like anything to stop you going out and spending £100 because you're bored. Let's eat out tonight because, you know, you've not prepared to cook a meal or you've not got anything in. You know, suddenly you've spent £50, £60 on a meal out or even a takeaway at £20, £25, when actually it could have cost you a fiver just to eat in. Now, I'm not saying that you never eat out. I'm saying that you allocate a budget for eating out, and when you've expended that budget, you don't eat out again until the rest of the month, and then the month resets at the start of next month. You've got to stop spending money. Petrol. Like, coast it, you know? Coast the car a little bit. Even better, don't take the car. Take the bike. Don't take the car to everywhere. Walk some places. If you've got two cars, if you're a two-car family like we are, we've got one that's a 3.7-litre V6, which guzzles petrol like you absolutely wouldn't believe. And then we've got the other, which is like a 1.5 diesel, which you can go to the moon and back on like half a tank. It's wonderful. Take that car. Spend less. Stop spending that money. And then obviously, the next bit is just stopping spending isn't enough for you. You've actually got to... Sorry, I'm just checking something there. That's it. Yeah, you've also got to start earning more money. Like... You know, I've had this argument on Twitter because Molly May came out, and how dare Molly May come out and say that we all have 24 hours a day? We do all have 24 hours a day. You might be in a situation where some of those hours are taken up, but unless you're from Planet Zog that has a 22-hour day, you've got 24 hours just like I've got 24 hours. And do you know what? I've actually got more than 24 hours. Even though I don't come from Planet Zog, although some people might disagree with that, I've got more than 24 hours. I have staff working for me. We've got, what, 8, 9, 10 staff? Call it 9 staff. I don't know. No, call it 10. I can do the maths on that. So 10 staff, including me. Let's say that. 240 hours a day I've got. Now, obviously, my staff aren't going to be working 24 hours a day, but they're going to be working 8 hours a day. So that's 80-hour days I can put in. And to say that some people have less than that is ridiculous. Like, to say they've got less than 24 hours. I get that some people are in a situation financially or that they're a primary carer for someone and they can't side hustle. I get that. But that percentage of people is tiny that are in that situation. When I was a lad, we had no shoes and we had to walk to school in bare feet, 10 miles in the snow. But when I first started out, I was working at Symphony Kitchens in Leeds, and then I'd finish at Symphony Kitchens, and then I'd go for a second job at William Hill, taking bets on the telephones, taking bets. And boy, that was 60, 65-hour weeks. That was hard. I was working Saturday and Sunday. I'd work 6 till 10 on an evening. And people go, well, I haven't got time to do that. You're going to have to find time from somewhere. Sleep less. Like, if you're sleeping 7 hours, sleep 6 hours. And this is what happens, is that people come out with all these ridiculous excuses. Oh, well, I can't do that. Fine, don't do it then. Stay where you are. Stay on the same level, at the same wage for the rest of your life. You know, the minimum wage is there as a stopgap to stop people falling through the gaps and earning less than minimum wage, right? It's not meant for people to stay on minimum wage for the rest of their life. If that's what you're doing it wrong. That is not what life should be about. Life should be about improving what you do every year as far as you possibly can. And of course, some people have different set of circumstances, which means I'm a primary carer. I can't do a side hustle. So are you primary caring for 24 hours a day? You can't steal an hour away from anywhere? And people might say, well, you can't run a business on an hour. Of course you bloody can. If you create content, for example, you created a training course, how to care for your, as a primary carer, how to care for someone. Or as a primary carer, here's how you make additional money. What a wonderful training course that would be. And you sell it for 15 quid a pop. You sell a couple a week. Now you're making 15, 30, 45, 60 pounds extra a week. Why can you not do that? I simply don't believe it. I do believe, however, that people have every excuse under the sun to stop them from moving forward in some way. And then we get people saying, yeah, but not everybody wants that. Fine, don't have that. But then don't moan about the fact that you haven't got enough money, or that you're a primary carer and side hustles are hard and all this extra stuff. I just don't believe it. I honestly just don't believe it. We've got Nick Vucicic, who's got no arms and no legs. And he's a motivational speaker. If you've ever seen him, he is truly amazing. Got married, goes diving in the sea. I mean, truly an amazing person. And so, you know, born, I think, with his set of circumstances, he's managed to come around. I just don't believe, right? Like, I believe in Captain Kirk. When Captain Kirk said, I don't believe in a no-win situation. I do not believe in a no-win situation. I simply don't believe it. There's always an option to do something. And the option for you right now is to go out and start earning more money. And if you don't know how to earn more money, one of the real keys to earning more money is to get skilled up. One of the things that I did very early on in my career was I wanted to be in sales. And I wanted to be in sales because I realised that being in sales, I'm in control over my income. If I'm crap, I need to improve. If I'm all right, I can get better. But it offered an open-ended way of me earning more money. And that's, you know, that continued all the way through. The jobs that I then went for were sales orientated that I knew I would get training for. One of those jobs was First Direct. I hated working at First Direct, but I worked there and their training was actually really good until I bought a sales book called NLP for Sales. And I'm like, this looks familiar. And it was basically taken from that book. I don't know if a trainer had read that book and just rejigged it. And, you know, that's how he got his job. He was a bit of a knob, was the trainer anyway. but I went for jobs that were going to offer me more training. I had to get skilled up. And when I left those jobs, I had to get more skills. I had to learn website design, for example. I didn't go on training courses for website design. I got a copy of Dreamweaver and I learned how to do it. In fact, I actually went to college for 2 years to do computer studies. And that's one of the places. But that's still me continuously improving. I've just noticed, by the way, that this lamp is changing colours. Let's just change that. There we go. The screen keeps flashing. I'm like, why is it flashing? It's because one of my lamps is flashing, changing colours. So look, I don't believe in a no-win situation. I believe you can change your life. I don't believe the life you're given is the life you have to live. I think you can change it in all sorts of different ways. Just by changing your friends group, you'll change it. Like those people who are primary carers. Well, you don't have any friends. You don't hang out with friends. You can't reduce the amount of time that you're hanging out with friends by an hour. Like, of course you can. The stuff you watch, are you watching Emmerdale or you know, Coronation Street? Can you not swap that and watch a podcast on YouTube? Watch a Grant Cardone podcast. And while you're watching that on YouTube, can you not do something? Of course you can. I just don't believe in it. I just don't believe. It's just not in my system. And Molly May has come down in flames because she said we all have the same 24 hours. Well, we do all have the same 24 hours. In fact, some of us have more than 24 hours. I get that the available amount of hours during a day can depend, but it's not that you've got 0 hours in a day. I just simply don't believe it. Not when you're sleeping 8 hours a night. Sleep faster, as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say. And then the final aspect on that is the bit that you're stopping spending and the bit of extra money that you're now earning, that gap right there, that gap is actually what you should be investing. And when you start investing that gap, that's really where the magic happens. And later on in this podcast, I'm going to talk about the spare cash allocation as to where you should be investing that. Or, like, I'm not going to do it where you should be investing it. I'm doing it where I'm investing it. Because I don't know who you are. There's thousands of people download our podcast every week. I have no idea who you are. But I can only say what's worked for me. And that might work for you as well, which is the whole point of a bloody podcast in the first place, the Wealth Creation Podcast. The whole point of it is that we get to talk about money. And we chat about it, and when it becomes less taboo and it becomes a conversational piece to find out how you're spending that, where does that money go, why are you doing that, why not do this, is there something else that you can do, and so on and so forth. I like having those conversations, and it's very difficult to have conversations like that because nobody ever talks about it for some reason. I don't know why. I'm a great believer that schools should be teaching about financial awareness, but one of the problems of that, you know, financial literacy, financial education, but one of the problems of that is that the people teaching it are financially illiterate. You've got teachers in masses of credit card debt that simply haven't got a clue. They think having a nice car and a nice house, and that's it. They've got a pension, they're going to work till they're 67 probably, and they think that that's the way forward. And that, you know, unfortunately, the people who will be teaching that are financially illiterate as well. So that's one of my issues with that, and that's where everybody gets their bad habits from, that and parents, of course. Anyway, Let's talk about cash flow forecasting, because this is really important. In terms of you becoming financially free, you need to know, like we're in January right now, you need to know how much money have you got left at the end of this month, right? Because you should have budgets for every single thing. You should have a budget for petrol, for food, for clothing, eating out, eating in, for the gym, for coffee, for gadgets, for school fees, for the kids, kids' clothing, every single thing that you can think of that you might spend throughout this year should have a line item. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you have Spam, £2, eggs, £3. That's just a weekly shop. So, you have a weekly shop allocated 50 quid a week, whatever that happens to be. I think ours is about 50 quid. There's three of us that live here. We live in Spain, so it's a bit cheaper. But we shop at Lidl. Like, we got millions of pounds of property. We live 100 metres from the Mediterranean Sea here. We shop at Lidl. We still shop at Lidl. And actually, we find the food quality better than shopping at, say, Carrefour or Elcourt, which is like a Lewis's, where they've got a supermarket in there. But we shop at Lidl, for God's sake. We keep our costs as low as we can. The T-shirt under here, I think I'm wearing a Primark T-shirt. We keep our costs as low as we can. I've got a clothing budget, and I, as some people will attest, I don't think Dan spends his clothing budget. But that's just not my thing, right? It might be yours, but have a clothing budget if that's what you've got. But you should have a budget for absolutely everything. And then you should have a budget for February all the way through up until the end of the year. In fact, with one of my business coaching clients, we actually created a budget for his business for the next 18 months. And at first, it's all very depressing looking at the budget. And then as we get 18 months from now, it's like, oh my goodness, actually it looks pretty good. Certainly compared with the last 18 months. But this is what your cash flow forecast will allow you to do. It'll allow you to feel much, much better about your financial situation. When you pay off your credit card, pay off your car loan, get out of bad debt credit, bad debit, bad... Like, credit cards shouldn't be called credit cards. They should be called debt cards. If we change the name to debt cards, how much you in... Or debt death or debt hell. I've got a new debt hell today with an £8,000 limit. It's like scary as hell. But when you say credit card, suddenly it sounds really good. Pay that lot off. But the way in which you pay that lot off is by having a cash flow forecast. You cut your spending, you invest more, and the bit that you're saving, that goes onto a line item to pay down your credit card. Is it hard paying off a £3,000 credit? It is absolutely really, really hard. But is it absolutely worth doing? It is absolutely worth doing. So making sure the painter's not here. No, it's fine. But you've got to do it. You know, if you're paying £150 a month off a £3,000 credit card, that's 20 months at £150. That's how long it's going to take you to pay it off. And it seems like it's forever. And it is. But you've got to do it. You allocate it. It comes out automatically. Change your direct debit to £150. Or if you've got a £3,000 here and a £5,000 there and an £8,000 here and a, you know, £1,500 there, go and get a consolidation loan. This is not financial advice, by the way. Seek financial advice. But go consolidate these so you've got one payment going out every month. It goes out over the next 8 years and that's fine. It's allocated. You know that in 8 years' time, it will be paid off. And in the meantime, while you're stopping spending or cutting back and earning more money, that extra bit of cash that you're going to start earning, that can then start moving over to your stocks and shares, cryptocurrency, property, knowing that while you're still doing that, you're still paying down all of your bad debt. And it's just something that you have to do. If not, you know, the bad debt is like kryptonite around your neck. Our world changed when we got rid of our bad debt. Now, at the moment, we're currently getting rid of our good debt as well. So good debt is mortgage debt. Good debt is something that, you know, you spend it and it pays you more than it's costing you. So if we buy a place for £100,000, the mortgage is £250 a month and it brings in £500 a month, that's good debt. Because I can't earn £500 unless I'm spending £250. That's good debt because I'm £250 up. All right, there's service charges and maintenance and whatever else. But anyway, that's the general gist of it. Bad debt is, you know, you bought a mug for £50. It's £20 this from Disney. But you bought it for £20 and now you're paying for this mug for the next 20 months at 25% interest. Absolutely ridiculous. What the hell are you doing? Cut that cost. Start allocating money to start paying stuff off. And what happens is that if it's 20 months to pay it off, have yourself a 2-year cash flow forecast so that you can actually see the month
when all your credit card debt is paid off 18 months from now, 20 months from now, you can see that. And as you see it, you'll see the bottom line. You see that the available money to invest increases suddenly. It goes up like that. Bang. It goes up because you've just paid off your credit card. And boy, I've got to tell you, the way that you feel when you pay off that bad debt is absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. Okay, let's talk about spare cash. Let's talk about spare cash allocation. And for this, I just need to pull up my spreadsheet because I've got it on here. So the way that we do spare cash allocation is we've got, you know, any spare cash that we've got in terms of, you know, the amount that we spend, the amount that we earn, the difference in between is what we invest. That amount of money. Let's just talk about exactly what that figure is. Let me just send a message. Hang on a second. Okay, so I've got someone messaging me because we're going to Argos to collect some items for a property. And I'm like, I'm just live. Okay, asset allocation. So we've got four different locations at the moment, and this might change, right? But right now, this is actually how it works. So we've got cryptocurrency, we put some money in that. We've got paying down good debt, paying off mortgages. We've got no bad debt anymore. We've got saving for a new property, and we've got ISA allocation. And ISA is where it's a tax-free wrapper. So if you put £100 a month in, £1,200, and it increases to £2,000, you've made £800, but it's tax-free. You've got an allowance of like about £20,000 a year. So you could put £20,000 in every single year. And if it triples in price and you sell it, it's tax-free. And everybody should be using that asset allocation. You know, when people talk about tax the rich use their ISAs. And like the very first bit where you should be putting money is your ISA. In my opinion, by the way, should be your ISA, not your pension. For me, it should be your ISA. You know, ask a financial advisor, you'll get a different message. But I like having immediate access. And by the way, there's one extra thing on here, and that's something that we're just creating now. And the forms that I talked about yesterday are still on my desk for my kids' pension. We're going to open up a pension for the kids and start putting in £25, £50, £100 a month into that for the children, so that in 50 years' time, they've got a nice little nest egg available and waiting for them. Anyway, this is about you. Oh, it's about me, really. But this is about where I think you should be doing this. And I'm also just checking that I've not missed something out, and I have. So let's include this first. So asset allocation or spare cash allocation. Number one for me is life insurance. So I think I pay like £55, and I can't remember how much it is. It might be 400,000. So if I die tomorrow, I get washed away. The aliens take me. I get eaten by a jellyfish. Whatever, right? If I die, then my estate gets £300,000-£400,000, right? Which means that my wife is fine, my family's fine, and they're fine. Obviously, we've got all these other assets, but by the time the liquidator gets their hands on them, reduces the prices by 50%, there's nothing left as usual, you know? But we've got that. So the very first bit that you do is that you've got to have some kind of life insurance. I guess it kind of depends on if you've got dependents and how old you are and all of that kind of thing. But having life insurance so that if you pop your clogs, the people that love you are not left in the shit. We had a situation where a friend of a friend who's my age, I'm 49, and he died. And there's the mum and there's the little kid who's my daughter's age, and they had nothing available. He died, that was it. She then had to go to work. I mean, you know, it was just a pretty horrific situation. And so the very, very first thing that I think you should have, of course, it depends. If you've got no dependents, you might not need it. Although you might want to leave it to your parents or friends or the cat sanctuary or whatever you want to do. But having some life insurance so that if you have an injury and you are unable to work, then you've got some insurance. Or if you die and you've got people who rely on you, you've got some insurance that will cover you. So actually, you know, I actually don't include that on my asset allocation, but that really should be number one, in my opinion, is that you need some kind of insurance in case something bad happens to you. So then let's talk about the next four. I'm just double checking to make sure there's nothing else on there. No, that's it, I think. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I mean, I've got other things like, for example, child maintenance that gets paid every month. That'll happen for next 5 or 6 years. But then that'll drop off, and then that money can go over to more asset allocation and probably go into the kids' pension, quite frankly, because that's where it kind of where it goes now anyway, to the kids. But anyway, let's talk about the next four. So after life insurance, in case I pop my clogs, the next bit is we've got crypto, paying off mortgages, saving for new property, and ISAs. And the now I do this as a percentage, so that whatever spare cash you've got, if you've got a £200, let's say £100, just because I can do the maths easier, right? My maths is generally dreadful. But if you've got £100 every single month that you've got available, now I might suggest that actually £100 a month is probably not enough, right? It's probably not enough. And you need to get yourself into a situation where you're saving £500 or £600 minimum, ideally £1,000. And you do that through side hustles, which is what we talked about right at the start. But okay, let's give you the asset allocation anyway, keep you from waiting. Cryptocurrency, we allocate 10% a month. And actually, when I look at that, we're probably... How much do we spend on crypto right now? Let's have a quick look. It's this one here. I'm not going to tell you how much this is, by the way. Let me see how much it is. Okay. Because obviously that data's kept available just for me. Anyway, 10% is what we allocate for crypto only. And we go to Binance. We have an automatic order across the top 5 or 6 cryptocurrencies. And it automatically places an order every Saturday. We buy it. I don't have to do anything. It's automatic. Every Saturday, it just goes and takes it. I get an email to say it's going to take it. And it's like, I'm like, you don't have to email me, but it does. It just takes it 10% every single month, but it takes, you know, 2.5% every week, effectively. Times 4, it's 10%. Times 4 weeks, right? And so cryptocurrency, every single month, spare cash is 10%. Paying off mortgages, 30%. I'm a great believer in paying off mortgages, especially now Section 24 has kicked in, which means that we can't offset those mortgages. So they actually serve no purpose. Having a large mortgage really serves zero purpose, frankly. Yeah, you can buy more property, but then you get taxed on it more. And a friend of mine said recently, he said, you're the only person I know that's actually keen to pay off mortgages. And I'm like, yeah, I've been in property 23 years and we're in it for another 25 years. I'd like to get there having a portfolio that's pretty much paid off. And by the way, when you're paying off mortgages today, or let me say this again differently, if I had just started paying these mortgages off 23 years ago, the amount of money that I was earning was different than it is today, even on the same number of assets, because inflation means that I get paid more rent. And again, I know on my own portfolio that rents have gone up 46% in the last 12 years on my own personal portfolio. I know this because I check it, because I've got cash flow forecasts going all the way back to 2010 January, right? So I know it's gone up 46%. So if it goes up another 46%, that's a lot more money that can get allocated to paying off mortgages using future money, because the money in the future is worth more than the money it is today, and it's worth a lot more than the money it was 20 years ago, because of inflation erodes the value of the money and it increases the value of your rent. So that's why we do it in that particular way. If you don't understand what that means, hit me up, let me know, and I'll go into more detail. We'll do some diagrams. Because it's really useful for you to actually understand what's going on there. But paying off mortgage debt. Now, right now, that money gets set aside, and I actually still haven't yet worked out. Do I put that into an ISA, and so we're getting tax-free gains, or do I actually physically pay off a mortgage? And the reason why I've not yet decided is that when we're paying off a mortgage, our mortgage rate's like 2.5%. So I'm saving 2.5% a year, or do I put it into an ISA and get 8%? And when you compound that over the next 10 years, there's a big difference between just paying off a mortgage. But part of me wants to pay down mortgage debt. There's this part of me, which is why we've got a 30% of allocation. Let's go on to the next bits, because that might kind of shed a bit more light onto it. We've got saving for a new property. So 50% of our spare cash. So what happens is that when we buy a new property, let's say it's 600 rent, the mortgage is 200, the service charge is 100. We're making, let's just say, 250 quid. That £250, out of that £250 new profit that we've got from buying a new property, 10% of that, which is £25, not a huge amount, but it's £25 a month, will go to crypto. 30% of that, which is £75, will go towards paying off a mortgage. Maybe not that one necessarily, but a mortgage in the portfolio. 50% of that 250, so £125, will go towards saving for yet another new property. And then the last bit is the ISA, which has got a 10% allocation. So every time our income goes up, we're still paying off even more of a mortgage as a higher figure amount, still the same percentages. But if we take on 10 properties that pay £2,500 a year, a month, I should say, and our income goes up £2,500, 10% of that, £250 goes into crypto. 30% of that, £750, goes into paying off mortgages every single month. That's £9,000 a year. You know, after 10 years, that's paid off an extra property, let's say. Saving for a new property, 50% of that, £1,250, which is what? Is that about £15,000? Like almost a new property out of that every year, just through those additional 10 that we bought. And then ISA, 10%, another £250 goes into that. So regardless of how many it is or what the figure is, we've got this fixed as a percentage. And what I do on my cash flow forecast is I then forecast that forward. So I've got a list here of how many properties I want to buy and when. Which you'd be interested about. I'm not going to talk about right now. So we've got that. And then we cash flow forecast our current situation and what we expect that situation to look like, sometimes including rent increases as well. We've got rent increases kicking in March, so that's increasing it. And then on our investment allocation, which is a percentage, I actually convert that into a pound amount. So that we actually know. So for example, I can tell you in July, we've got some big changes happening in July, but I can't tell you about them. But our crypto shoots up because our income has gone up. And our paying off the mortgages has shot up, like significantly, in fact. Like, yeah, it is pretty significant, is that actually. Saving for new properties, that increases. So instead of buying 1 euro a year, 2 euro a year, 3 euro a year, we can buy 4, 5 or 6. And so we're then just accelerating everything that we do. And it's the same for our ISA allowance. And so that's how we do it. I know that's fairly complicated when you're just listening to me saying it and you can't actually see what I can see. But this is the stuff that you should be creating yourself so that you actually understand how to do it. And then just finally on this, you know what? It takes time. You can't do this overnight. You know, it's taken me 23 years to get to this point. And we've still got plenty to go, you know? And it kind of bugs me. You get on Instagram and TikTok, oh, I do all these dances and I'm so wealthy and, oh, just do this. And hey, it happens overnight. It's absolute total rubbish. It so doesn't happen overnight. I wish it happened overnight. I wish you could just hustle 60 hours a week and in 4 weeks, you're bang, I'm a millionaire driving a Lambo. It doesn't happen. Like people are scamming you. If you think that's what it is, you're wrong. It takes 10 years. You know, I've been in property for 23 years and it's really only at year 16, 17. Boy, did life get a lot easier. It was really hard for 16 years. Working two jobs, doing viewings, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of viewings I've done over the last 23 years. So many stupid estate agents who simply don't understand anything. So it takes a while. It takes a long while. It takes 20 years. Stop looking at Instagram and thinking, oh, they're wealthy stood next to a Lambo. It's not their Lambo, for God's sake. Walking around London or walking around a marina here in Spain with big boats behind you. It's bullshit. They hire it, stand next to it. Oh, can I sit in the back of your car and take a picture? It's bollocks. It takes time. It takes long-term investing. We had cryptocurrency folks 2 weeks ago, 8% a year. I make 8% in a week. Yeah, where are you today when crypto's dropped? You've lost it all. It's bullshit. There's no easy route. There's no quick route. Everything takes time. Everything is hard. Don't stress about it. Just do the goddamn work. Anyway, our guy's about to turn up because we've got painters and decorators turning up in 2 minutes. Hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next one. My name's Dan Latto. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.